May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 759. 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
Let's read together firstly the book of Exodus, part of chapter 19, and we turn to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Exodus, chapter 19, and we commence our reading at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people round about Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. And there shall not an hand touch it. He shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives, as the custom was. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves. Let the Lord break forth upon them, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now we turn now to a few verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away. It means continually. If we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, let yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. The Lord bless his word and help us to pray. Most high and holy Lord God, who and what are we? It's nothing worth, but our sins are many. We are poor and needy, but we pray, Lord, that thou not leave us like that as we come unto the throne of grace. Leave us not, Lord, to think that we are coming because we are poor and needy. Rather, may we be drawn by thy sweet love and thy rich grace to the place where grace abounds. Direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Leave not our souls destitute. Hasten to come, Lord, as we plead that worthy name. Leave us not, Lord, to come without an exercise of mind and heart and soul, that we would indeed lay hold upon thee by faith. We would seek, Lord, for that help of God for sinners laid upon one that is mighty. We pray, Lord, that we may know that rich grace of which we have been reading. Pray that thou help us, Lord, as we draw near, but oh, the need, Lord, of cleansing, the need of thy rich forgiveness. Lord, sometimes it presses us badly, we feel so undone, and yet, Lord, we cannot continue without the fresh supply of grace to see and know our need and to cause us to flee unto Jesus Christ. So help our infirmities and unbelief. Remember us, Lord, as we gather seeking for a token for good. Hear the prayer. Remember each one that seeks unto thee, Lord, for a special token for good, something from above that far excels all things beside. Oh, may we be able, Lord, to lay hold upon thee and lay hold upon the garment too of that sweet forgiveness, that thou wilt remember us, Lord, as we approach unto thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou grant the Holy Spirit's vital blessing of truth in our hearts that brings out that spirit of true repentance. Help us, Lord, to come, and yet we come just as we are. Praying, Lord, that thou be mindful of each one, from the youngest to the oldest, and those that we pray for especially. Oh, how we would seek unto thee, Lord, to remember our dear friend in the hospital, and pray that thou be round about him. Oh, we have got good memories of him, Lord, and pray that we too may be amongst those that are often able to come while strength is given. We pray that thou help us, Lord, to plead thy blessing upon this house of prayer and each cause represented. We pray, Lord, there may be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, everything coming down, appointed. Sweet grace to break through all our sins and to come, Lord, and grant a lifting up. We pray, Lord, for the young ones that we bring to thee, Lord, for that help of God, that thou wilt bless them and thou wilt remember them, Lord, as the generations come. May God be with them each. We pray, Lord, for that thy word to prosper. And Lord, we pray also that thou bring in thy dead elect, and maybe those that shall come in and be blessed in coming. Or we think of the Bibles and pray that thou bless thy word. Now, Lord, we do seek to thank thee for the mercies that surround us, for the goodness of God that endureth continually. But Lord, for thy help in time past, how we need it renewed. And Lord, remember any special trouble of heart. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Pray, Lord, that thou remember those that would lay hold upon thee, but oh, they're so bound fast that need thee, Lord, to come as the hymn has spoken about it, breaking through and bring in sweet relief. We pray, Lord, for those in deep affliction that we remember as we come, and pray that thou be with them, each one, for their many are afflicted. We pray, Lord, that thou hear us for a sweet return of thy Spirit, Lord, where there shall be those that shall come and say, "Hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you." My Lord, thou knowest the hindrances. We pray that thou hasten to come, Lord, with that grace that convinces and yet delivers from sin and all unbelief. May the Lord appear. We pray, Lord, for our poor land, that thou wilt remember us, how low we're brought, how we mourn, how we pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet appear in those things regarding our poor land and the future years if we're spared. Do help us, Lord, to seek thou wilt remember those we bring to thee, Lord, for their hearts may be full of sorrow in other places. We seem to think about them so much. Oh, that thou wilt come and sweetly lift up and touch hearts that are so low. And do grant, Lord, sweet help of God for them, that we bring them unto thee, Lord, as brethren, and pray that thou wilt hear us for each one, that they're all known to thee. Oh, do hear us, Lord, for the oppressed and those that are cast down because of the way. And each one we pray for with ourselves, for a greater knowledge of the dear Redeemer. Remember the deacons and help each one, Lord, that we bear up before thee and seek that thou be with them. Perhaps some went in their way even now. We pray that thou hear us, Lord, for our need is great. Sometimes it presses us so down, much down. Oh, can ever God dwell here? Oh, that's what we need, the Lord to come. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Hasten to come, Lord, as thou only canst, and grant that sweet liberty that we may be able to say we have found him. And grant, Lord, as we approach the end of another year, there may be a blessing poured out upon the churches, a day of refreshing, a day when that dear babe of Bethlehem might be sweetly known in hearts young and old. That we pray for it. And remember us, Lord, as we seek now that thou art hastened to come where we are. We cannot come to thee, but thou canst come to us, and then we come. O Lord, do grant it. Help us now, Lord, to plead that worthy name. And we pray for our brother in his loss. We know what it is. We pray that thou art be with him. And seek that thou be pleased, Lord, to help us to come amongst the dear friends, although so poor, and Lord, feelingly so much in need of the Lord, that do hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, may we be able to lay hold upon thee and say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. We ask that thou receive us, Lord, as we pray for others in other lands and those we bring to thee, Lord, that are oppressed. And Lord, truly we need thee to arise as never before, perhaps, in our land. Although there have been many conflicts, it's the enemy within, it's the dreadful sin that runs down our streets. And it's the unconcern about it all. Oh, Lord, do appear. Hear us for the royal house. We pray there may be a better day. We ask that thou come, Lord, now, and grant the lifting up of the light of thy countenance. Oh, we have to lean upon thee, Lord. Do come. Hasten to come. Come quickly. We ask that thou be with us each, and especially again for our friend in the home. We ask that thou be with us now. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 761. Show pity, Lord, O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee. Hymn 761.
Thank you.
in much dependence upon the help of God. I'll direct you to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It's the latter part of the chapter. We read from verse 26 onwards, and our text is taken in verse 28. Verse 26, hear voice. Whose voice then shook the earth? Now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. And these verses have rested on my mind for a few weeks, really, and I've not known when to try and speak from them, except that the verses now seem to rest on my mind with regard to the hearing and especially the preaching of the gospel, friends. Especially as we hope, believe that we have got some guidance in the matter. The setting of this text is one of much antiquity, really. The the Old Covenant, the Testament therein, things that God revealed under the law, the great matter of his holiness being very much propounded, very much made known for the glory of God. Friends, the subject matter really is the kingdom which cannot be moved. I want to speak of that, but I want to speak just quickly of what it really means about the kingdom of God. Very quickly, we do need to be directed by God's Spirit. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God the Father, the kingdom of the Christ of God, the kingdom of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of persons in this great kingdom. And we think the word speaks of that particular way in which God revealed himself. Firstly, with such judgments and such as we have read in the Old Testament of the coming of that in that ancient time of the Lord, 19th chapter of Exodus. I want to quickly come. There was a demonstration of the greatness of God in the kingdom, but it was yet to be fulfilled. It was yet to be made known more perfectly in the coming of God's own dear beloved Son. That's what we need, friends. We can have a knowledge that God is holy, and we can even have reverence to his name, good as it is. But what we need is the kingdom of God in our hearts. And then there will be that sweet knowledge of the Lord in the kingdom of his grace. That's what we need. It's very much in my thoughts. Other people could not come up to Mount Sinai, but then in the purposes of God, the Lord made a way, and it was all to his glory. But I want to notice again, Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, that no a deliverance there because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Again, when the voice of the trumpet sounded of old, sounding long and waxing louder and louder. And we read, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. There's little more than that. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. Oh, let us not forget it, friends. Oh, the holiness, majesty, Almighty God, the Father. And then the way in which we may be able to come a little closer to the truth in the gospel of those things that cannot be shaken in and through and by the blessed work and witness of the Holy Spirit, showing us those things belonging to God's own dear Son. That's where we want to come to. Those things, friends, that will be so necessary as we come down to the end of life's journey, are those things that we would seek the Lord for by grace, for a living interest in those things of his coming. Let me say also that I've been thinking of the things that have come upon us in our land. And we may notice quickly of the things that can be spoken of as shaking the earth. Friends, the devil was let loose as far as he can. What things are coming upon the earth, upon our land? And the hearts of men may indeed be fearful. We read things belonging to the shaking under Mount Sinai. But we live in a day when we might think of the things that are shaking the earth itself in another way. Oh, the things that God permits, things that are overtaking us. I want to come a little further. But that's the way into the text. There's things which are spoken of as shaking the earth, and certainly the things are attending the latter times, but we leave many things with God. We read, in those far off times his voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, also heaven. And it can be said that many hearts begin to fail, that many things begin to come. But I want to hasten. The Lord is in these things for his purposes of grace. For the Lord to come and have a people the more clearly brought from the ways of sin and ruin by the things that they may have to walk in, and we speak very carefully. His voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. It speaks then of another great matter, friends, and that's the separating, sanctifying of God by and his people being brought so very much from the easy, slippery ways of sin where anything goes to a gracious, living concern. What about my soul and the need to be truly ready when things shall come latterly as of things that are made to the end of all things. Friends, are we concerned about our end whenever it shall come? May it be so. But the evidence is that we live in such times as when there is little regard Where? Sometimes in the assemblies of those that gather. God forbid. When things are rather like this, well, we go on because we can do that, really. We can go in reading the word, and is not he, the Lord Jesus, a very good friend? Friends, we need an intimate knowledge of his sweet grace. That's what's in the kingdom here. Those things that he will yet perfect in the hearts of poor sinners, that's what I need. All those things that belong to these words seem to stand out to me, yet once more I shake not the earth only, also heaven. It's really the things that he brings to pass in the hearts of his people. What a shaking there is when God begins to work. I was thinking of the way into it all, friends, was by the new birth. The truth of the new birth and the life by God's grace in a sinner's heart. Once he was going as careless, as indifferent as so many. And then the Lord begins to touch hearts, friends. There's a trembling so far as God grants his sweet spirit. Oh, I have to own, friends, we are dependent. That's a sweet hymn, isn't it? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Friends, without grace we can have a name to live, no matter what it is, be dead. We can be utterly without that grace that saves unto the utter. If you are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. We can be content with a husky part. And friends, there's a great need of the Lord to grant that sweet work in the kingdom of God. Have his sweet spirit working so sweetly. I think it was only just recently I was listening. There was a prayer made, wasn't it? That the Lord would come as he has done in the past. Perhaps you remember. A lifting up of the prayer for the Lord to grant more of that sweet obedience to his name. The kingdom of God, we may say, increased by poor sinners. Oh, they're so poor. Oh, they're so much in need of the Lord to help them through. And they may be experimentally spoken of, I hope so this evening, of those things that are yet in God's hand to bring us the more sweetly upon the merits of Christ, the kingdom of God to be increased with living souls. I want to be one of them. Oh, how far off at times. And that's how it seems to me to come more into the text. These ones that are blessed by the grace of God in the new birth, and now and again there's such a sweet humbling, and then their hearts are so hard again that they wonder if ever God can dwell here. Well, friends, that's the trial of your faith. Let me try and come to the evidence of these that are brought into the kingdom of God, as the word of God speaks about the characters that begin to tremble before him. We have it in these words: you are not come unto the mountain that might be touched. It's the beginning, we might say, of the increase of the kingdom in a poor sinner's heart. Oh, that we may have that possession, friends, of this grace of God. And I think of the Father's love, the grace of it. I think indeed of the wondrous grace of the dear Son, I want to speak about that. And then the vital grace and truth of the Holy Spirit taking of these things, that's what we need, until our hearts are softened, humbled, and brought to feel our need only as much, and I'm honestly saying, as God the Spirit moves upon the face of the waters of our souls. Are there not those, friends, that know something of what it is to be brought low and begin to find that those things that they once looked for are those things which are shaken? And then there's a taking away of those false idols and things that, friends, they belong to us, don't they? As it was with dear Ruth, she had to come right out of Moab. God brought her out. And friends, the matter is this. There was that deliverance from sin and idolatry and from the power of unbelief. That's what we need. Oh, verily, friends, in speaking of these things, I know that some don't want it too sharp, don't want it so very close. Well, friends, that's how God began with me. Here a little and there a little, and then it got close. Whatever shall become of me? Where am I? How different to the people of God? So undone. Only as much as God begins to increase this kingdom of living souls with those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, friends, they cannot live as once they did upon the husky part. But they need the Lord, but they don't know how to approach unto him, except that they believe sweetly that he is able. So they come to the throne of grace, and as much, if I may speak of it, as of a separating nature. Oh, the word of God speaks of a shaking within, really. That's what we need, friends. The Lord to shake us out. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven, or the kingdom of heaven. As you may say, what do you mean? It can't be shaken. But friends, it's poor sinners that are in the kingdom that are shaken. And they're shaken out of their solemn indifference and careless approach to things. Oh, would to God there might be many that may be able to say, that I know not, teach thou me. Now these things, when they cut close, you see, it's these ways of God, little by little, the Old Testament, the things belonging to the ways of God of old until the time of the coming. Oh, what a sweet coming into the kingdom of God. The dear Redeemer, so exceedingly precious. Friends, may we look at it carefully. How precious. Or is it like those that say, let us go forth unto the camp, out without the camp, bearing his reproach. Something to carry up, take on. Oh, it's this particular separation unto the gospel of the kingdom. Our friends, are something known in the heart, isn't there? As God may, it speaks of a general assembly and church of the firstborn. The Lord brings poor sinners into it. And then it's the beginning of the trial of their faith. It's the beginning of those things that God will perfect to his glory. So different to what is of man. what he thinks he has attained to. No, but I want to come, friends, a little closer, because it's this part that has really struck me so, of the increase of the kingdom, of the ways of God which are past finding out. Friends, they're in his word. Yet once more, what does it mean? Perhaps a fresh trial of trouble and deep concern. A fiery trial is to try you. But let me put it another way, friends, to bring us more and more upon the sweet merits of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's what the kingdom is, friends, made up of living stones. And they're brought to seek much unto Christ. Strangely, he seems to be the object of their desire more and more. And they love to come, and they want the man to hear, to speak of the Son of God for their souls, the kingdom of God to be made known in their hearts by his love, by his grace. That's the subject matter. The sweet grace of God receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. I want to speak about it. It's not some way of inviting or to speak in such a way as it might be much better to be saved, friends. It's those that are utterly lost shall be utterly saved. It's by Christ, the sinner's friend. And there's a way I want to notice it in the removing of things that we want to lay and keep hold of. Friends, it's man's goodness to keep close to what he thinks, and God delivers. He empties whom he fills. But I must hasten. Those things that are made, but not by God, they have to be pulled up, you know. They shall not stand. There'll be a time when we shall say, give me Christ or else I die. But then, when we speak here in the word here, yet once more, there may be some sweet times you can remember when the Lord has been pleased to grant a sweet promise, perhaps in the greatest trouble. I know what that is. Sweet times in the greatest losses when the Lord draws near. I wish it to those that are in the depths of trouble, I really do. They might be sustained. Friends, the remedy is that grace which is spoken of so sweetly. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now this strength then, it is especially given by the Father in the raising up of these souls by the sweet covenant of his grace, that they shall not lay any longer in such a Christless state, but they shall be brought by his wondrous grace to choose the things they once didn't choose at all. Now, friends, it's that beginning of this kingdom in the heart I want to notice. When the things of God are uppermost, only as much as the Lord reigns, and if grace reigns, or it doesn't do anything. Oh, I come so far short. Now, this is the matter of it, friends. It's what God is the beginner of, he will perfect. How is it so? Well, in the kingdom of God, in the covenant of it, there's a sweet fullness God has made in his Son. A sweet kingdom that shall be made known by the reign of grace. Those that have to go in his ways and seek for that increase of the kingdom by grace. Let me look at it a little closer. When it says here, yet once more, it speaks of that continuance of this growth in the new heart. Friends, something else to learn, isn't there? Something more to pray over. Down you have to go. Perhaps in some great trouble that you say, is this the way? Well, friends, it's the way exactly that grace orders has done. By the Father in his love. By the purposes of God which ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet shall be the flower. Oh, do you believe it? Say, ah, a little touch of that grace is what I need to help me through and bring me more. That's a sweet word, isn't it? But he giveth more grace. Oh, what a sweet thought that is. Where is it? Prince, it's in the kingdom. But oh, especially that it's laid up in that fullness and the covenant of a fountain, a fullness of grace. It says so in the sweet word, doesn't it? Now, does it mean that then we can just comfort ourselves? Well, friends, it doesn't mean that man can take of those things, but friends, it's the room he makes in the lives of his people. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, and that's a sweet fullness, isn't there, in the Lord. Now, in the covenant of grace, there is a fullness, and I venture to say the kingdom in the text here that is so especially commended by the apostle and should be in the ministry. I'm speaking ever so carefully. It's by God-given grace we receive in a kingdom. The new birth. The things of it that once you could not seek to prize, but now there's those things that really draw your soul upwards towards the Lord, to his holiness, his attributes, the things that he makes known in the kingdom. Oh, it's the humbling of our souls, isn't it? But it's the magnifying of his grace. That's in the kingdom. It's that sweet truth that may be spoken of in these words, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Oh, what sweet truths are there, friends. Cannot be moved. Satan would seek to move it. Really, it brings me back to my thoughts of the terrible state of things today. Antichrist going about seeking to remove the kingdom. You look at it. Oh, friends, on every hand. And yet, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Deep in the heart, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But I like these words, friends. They stood out to me. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now that's grace. Friends, it's immortal grace. What God has purposed in the covenant and makes known by the blessed Spirit, but oh, it's the revealing, isn't it, of the glorious person of Jesus Christ, the King of Grace himself. Let me look at it with you. It's as if in the preaching that the apostle seeks to commend this truth in the kingdom for seekers. That, friends, they're not without the beginning of God's grace, but they do need the enlargement. But it says receiving a kingdom. I thought about it so much. Friends, what things are these? Well, they're above this poor world. Men, friends, today, they're so pleased with what satisfies their hearts. I won't go into it. But it's no good. You'll have to come to it. Oh, it's that sweet truth, like treasure in the field, isn't it? And the word speaks about it. Receiving a kingdom. Let me look at it in another sense. It's what God has set up. Now, it's not here a little and there a little. It's the whole kingdom. But it's made known by the Spirit of God, here a little and there a little. All these things are for the increase of the kingdom by the grace of God revealing those heavenly things. Those things which are above. You know, we just got no capacity for it by nature. But that's what God brings, doesn't he? Let me try and speak of this grace for a little while. Friends, it's sovereign, rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Oh, those things that cannot be removed. By grace, sweetly given by the blessed Spirit to establish, strengthen, settle you in the things of God, so much above this poor dying world. But we need the increase, don't we, of this grace to be in our hearts, that we might live as we would live. But then it says receiving a kingdom. Well, that's the truth as it is in Jesus, which cannot be moved. There's a sweet hymn, it might come to my mind. But those things that the Lord has begun, friends, are of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that they're those things that grow in the new heart that God has given. Lowliness of mind. Oh, that spirit of having to leave things by God's grace, for the Lord to deal with, for the Lord to grant help of God, to wait upon him, wait upon him still. Let me put it in another way, friends. It's answers to peace, sometimes in a way so different to what we thought. Receiving a kingdom. Oh, friends, it speaks, doesn't it, of those things which cannot be moved. Well, I like to think of them as the sweet attributes of Jesus Christ. Oh, I was trying to think about things, feeling so low. And then it seemed to bring my mind back a little to the Lord's dealings with me. When I was away with the world, and yet brought back. Brought to seek the God of heaven for myself, and yet feel so more and more guilty and undone by God's grace. Never leads a man to say, great God, how good I am, that leads the soul another way to Jesus and his blood. I think we've been singing about it. Now that's the spirit of the text here and the way in which the apostle, he gloried in it, didn't he? They're designed to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that's the essence of the kingdom. This glorious one, so sweetly exalted, friend, for sinners, a name to plead. I like that. A name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, it's to plead the sweet merits, the attributes. And let me put it another way, friends. What a friend he proves to be. You fear the most and fear that God will soon make a clean end of you, or we may be left to our own heart sometimes and think that we've sinned away all of the kingdom of his grace. No, friends, it's rather this: to have a sweeter knowledge of the kingdom of God as it is here, a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, friends, if it could be moved, where would we be? Where would you be that are sweetly called by grace to know that worthy name? Let me try it with you. What about that sweet text? Unto you, therefore, which believe is precious. Oh, can you find fault in that? Keep going to the fullness of it. For that help of God, perhaps every day. Lord, do appear. Lord, do manage this. Bring me through, perhaps, with those exercises belonging to the loved ones, young ones too. Oh, your heart goes up to the Lord. That they would be blessed and kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Now these things, friends, are despised, but it's the kingdom that grows. Oh, not in man's poor merits, but the Saviour's merits. What think ye of Christ? Oh, is he not altogether lovely? Say, ah, I need an increase, I need a touch. I need the Lord to bring me through this. And you might say, well, then I would praise him more than all. Well, friends, you'll need grace to do that. I think I've repeated, choosing rather to suffer affliction. So different to what man would choose. But then it's the sacred will of God. What a sweet attribute. Friends, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and even their afflictions are known unto him. In all their afflictions he was afflicted. But let me put it another way. It commends this grace to living souls, not dead ones. Let us have grace. Oh, it's to characters. It's to those that know something of God's dealings with them. With something that belongs to his chastening. I think we've read about it, haven't we? Or it's in this chapter. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye bastards and not sons. So there's an attribute. It's the chastening of the Lord. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons and daughters. Oh, it's these characters that somehow they're held up and they're brought through, but then they have to go, perhaps together, but we'll seek the Lord about this. I mustn't be personal, but I know something about it. We'll go and tell the Lord about it. Who can tell? This God that has been our God will bring us through, but we need that increase of faith, don't we? And he giveth that grace, but the essence of it, we are saved by grace through faith. That's the attribute I want to notice quickly, that of that increase of his love, the faith he gives to believe. It's going again, isn't it? We'll seek the Lord about it. The spirit of man is, well, we'll go our own way, and if God will bless us, he'll bless us, but we'll cleave to our little things here. No, friends. God will spoil you of them if I speak carefully. And there'll be a cleaving, like dear Ruth clave unto Naomi. That's a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Where it speaks of, where we sing, to Boaz's field he led her straight, and she became his bride, and that's grace. Oh, in the sweetness of that heavenly Boaz. I want to notice it, friends, in this friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You may go, friends, it says here, let us have grace. But it used to be an expression of cap in hand. You have to go with your nothing and yet plead that worthy name. For who can tell? Let me put it round another way, friends. It says, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, I preach these things, friends. I need the increase of them. But let me just say, these words seem to be with me in the ministry, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. As if there's a gathering up of these poor lame, poor limping souls and troubled, and it seems everything's wrong. Everything seems to be out of order. No, friends. Order in all things, and sure as that covenant, so it is in providences. Oh, may the Lord grant a sweet spirit of grace to seek him in the time when he may be found. Let me speak to seekers. But when I was seeking, friends, I thought I had to try harder, and I got worse and worse. And then the Lord began to soften my heart under the preaching of Jesus Christ. I shouldn't forget about it. Oh, the increase of his grace, friends, it softens hearts, doesn't it? The sweet attribute of his grace by the Spirit is that he is made altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. And so you have to say, well, I have to leave those things in God's hand. And be content with such things as you have, for he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now it's in these words, I want to commend them to you in my poor little way. Let us have grace. Don't misunderstand me. There's an end to it, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh, what a great matter there is in it. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. But then there's another part to it, as God may help me. It's what the Lord may yet bring to pass. What he might yet show him, as he does through the letters. We might remember his praying poor We may remember those that have no helper, those that seem to be left, and yet, strangely, they are able to hold on their way. We have it sweetly before us in these concluding words in Hebrews. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only. Now what are these things? But also heaven. Well, what it really means is this. It's our sweet hope that is revealed here. I shake not the earth only, also heaven. Again, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Now the absolute meaning of them is that they are those things that must be laid aside. Be those things that are left with the Lord, perhaps. Perhaps in another sense, they are those things which belong to the kingdom. And you have to learn, he is the author and finisher of your faith. And then I want to come to it, as God may help me in these last parts, friends. Let me try and bring you to them. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What's it mean? Well, friends, it's those things that are held fast, aren't they? Those things that are set down. Those things that belong to God's grace in the heart. Those things which are set above all things here below by God's grace. Until you say, well, I think we've said it, I could from all things parted be, never, never, Lord, from thee. Well, the last few verses here, the last few words, let us have grace. What does it mean? Well, the half has not been told. It means little more. It's this word that leads us to serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Again, we think of Sinai, for our God is a consuming fire. Oh, it may be things that perhaps especially the Lord brings into your heart, into your life even, but receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Thus, by this great matter here, let us have grace. Let me put it round another way. It means that grace that God is the author of and finisher of too. But there's one part of it I want to notice. Let us have grace. Oh, friends, what a sweet subject that is. You know, it rains until the end of time. It delivers from self-righteousness, from self-esteem. It delivers from pride that must be humbled. Delivers us from a spirit of self-sufficiency and brings us a little closer to the glorious person of Emmanuel, God with us. This one that is spoken of here, that one that is for the shaking of all things, but he remains. Wherefore are you receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved? My last few thoughts belong to these verses in the ways of God. Put it round another way. Friends, there are not many things that can't be moved, are there? One way or other. Oh, but this grace, friends, in the heart can't be moved. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, established by sovereign grace. A kingdom that cannot be removed. We have it before us in these words, the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that remain. Oh, are there a few things this evening that may bring you to wonder where the scene will end? Yet the Lord remaineth faithful, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us search for grace. Let us seek for this grace divine. Let us lay hold upon the kingdom by his grace. Let us seek him in a time when he may be found. Oh, it's, in other words, friends, it's what God leaves behind, isn't it? To bring you and me to the sweet grace as it is in the Lord. To humble your heart and mind, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Well, it's the part that may need its grace to receive, but it's this receiving a kingdom, the whole extent of it, everything belonging to it. It's what the Lord makes over. You know how it is in the those things that are inherited, they're what have been left behind, aren't they? And that's how the Lord deals with his people. And he never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. It's this, oh, I must leave it quickly. Friends, it's what the Lord leaves, as it was with Ruth in the field belonging to Boaz. What things there are for those that wait upon him. The half hath not been told. I leave it there. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a meeting for members on Friday evening for prayer at 8 o'clock. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Robert Field next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 766. 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. Hymn 766.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, may we be possessors of that grace of which we have been singing. Oh, to bring us right home and to bring us to God himself in and through eternity. Cleanse us well. Remember us still. Help us, Lord, bless this people and you grant there may be some sweet fruit to it all. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.